hands in honor and glory to the King. Oh, hallelujahs and blessings and praises now I bring.
My heart
no longer your blessings can contain. Oh, so I worship and I magnify your name.
it's good to be in the house of God today. To have an opportunity to lift our hands. The song said lift our hands unto the Lord. You know, when you lift your hands, you're kind of giving up. Giving up your will. That's what we want to do, is give up our will and let God bless us. The Bible says by his blessing, you know, he blesses us in a way that it runs over. You know, it's that scripture is there, that is run over or pressed down. You know, that's how God blesses. And but we have to lift our hands, though. You know, you have to be able to give up to the Lord, surrender to the Lord, and in order to get his blessing. Is that too hard? You know, to surrender to God, to let him bless you. But that's what we have to do. You know, God is not just pour his blessing. Sometimes he just, things are hidden. The Bible said some things are hidden to the wise and the prudent, but they're revealed unto babes. Those are people that are giving up, you know, surrendering to the Lord, that are lifting their hands unto the Lord. Those are the people that that God reveal things to. And that's what we want. We like to know. Brother Smith was giving us some good things about the seven spirits of God. And to get in on that, you know, we can partake in the things of God. You know, God has stuff and has things in store that we don't know about yet. And we're trying to find out. We're trying to inquire at God's table. And things that we don't understand, things that happen in this world we just don't understand. You know, sometimes it's mind-boggling, you know, what people do and what, you know, what come against us. You know, you don't know what you're facing. You don't always know, but God can help us. You know, if you're instructed on how to go through things, I spent a little time in the military. They gave us some good instructions. I didn't have to apply everything because I didn't go to in the war zone, but I remember some instructions they gave. And I knew that I didn't know exactly where I was going, but I remember one time I needed glasses and my folk I guess couldn't afford them or what, but I didn't have them, and I got there and they told me you need glasses, you know, because I had to use a rifle shooting, and I didn't do too good without my glasses. But when I got glasses, I did better. But I remember being in a course. It was something detection, I forget now. They had people, had other soldiers out there in the field, camouflaged, and they was hidden. We had to find them. You know, we were sitting in the bleachers, and they had all this open field out here, and they had men out there behind trees and foxholes, and they had camouflaged, you know, their uniform, but they was hidden. They had some vegetation on their caps and, you know, I mean, they're blending in with the area. But I remember being in this course, and when we first started looking, I didn't see anybody. I mean, I couldn't pick anybody out. I was just thinking to myself, now, suppose I was in the real war here now, and the enemy's out there. I know they're out there because we saw them go out there. But I couldn't pick them out, you know, and I was thinking about that. But, I mean, they helped us, you know, they helped us to know what to look for, and movement, you know, and all these kind of things. But anyway, I'm just thinking, you know, God can help us. He can help us. If we just begin to surrender to him, begin to lift our hands. You know, if we can't see out there, if we don't know what's going on, God can help us. No, he can help us. And that's what I'm relying on, is God helping us. Because I know, you know, I can only do so much. You know, it's just not in man. You know, it's not in man. God didn't make man to be able to understand all these things. He made him till he can, you know, God says scripture, man was made upright, and he sought out many inventions so that a lot of things man can do. But there's a lot of things he can't do. It's going to take God. And that's who I'm relying on, is God, to help us today. You know, I believe if I can begin to just, you know, and get your mind elevated, you know, you can, that helps a lot, just to begin to meditate on the things of God. Begin to get a positive mind. Brother Smith was talking about that this morning, how you can begin to, evangelist, he was talking about, that can help stir your mind up, get you thinking right. You get to thinking toward God. You know, when you begin to think about God, you realize it's nothing impossible with him. It's nothing impossible with God. So that's why we begin to elevate our mind, to get our mind on the Lord. Peter said, gird up your mind. I think it was Peter, one of the apostles, said, gird up your mind. Begin to, you can get your mind, bring your mind in the captive, begin in the control of it. You know, because your mind, you know, you can be building houses or fixing a motor or, you know, doing something right here in church. But, you know, we have to begin to get that under control. Begin to meditate on the things of the Lord. You know, begin to think about God. He's blessed us. He's given us this day. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. He said, let's be glad. You know, this is his day. I don't know about tomorrow, but I have today. Thank God for it. I thank God for this day. And I thank him for his goodness today and his good spirit that he's led us to have, you know, to comfort us. It's a comforter. His spirit comforts us, our soul, and give us peace when maybe we don't seem to have peace. But I believe that's through his spirit. Brother Smith was telling us this morning, through God's spirit, he provides for us. He has things for us that can help us, but it's through his spirit. And I want to lean on that. I want to begin to grasp these things from the Lord that he provides for us. And I'm just so thankful today that we're in a place where people are reaching out. I don't want to just sit, you know, and not, I think I got it all sold up. I think I have it all packed, you know, as the song they used to sing about being all packed up and ready to go. But we don't want to have that attitude altogether, you know. Something God has given us, maybe some things are packed up, but we want to keep reaching out to the Lord. But keep asking God to help us. Keep leaning on it. I don't want to get at ease. You know, that's the scripture said you can be at ease in Zion. You know, we don't want to be at ease. We want to keep reaching out to God and keep searching. You know, Paul was saying, you know, he felt like, you know, he had attained to a point. But I don't feel like I've gotten there yet. So I need to keep reaching out to the Lord. So it's good to be here today. It's good to feel his spirit, the spirit of God that's overshadowing our service here today. I'm so thankful for him. And we do have company. Brother Smith has a visitor here. It's Luke's a luck now. I don't want to get him wrong. Brother Bill Lux. I get it? Luke, see, I know I go one. Bill Luke's. Good to have him today. All right. Good to have him. And then, Brother TJ and the Quick Brothers. Quick Brothers from Sykeston. Good to have him. Sister Brenda Norman. Of course, Sister Brenda Norman. She's somewhere. But anyway, she's good to have Sister Brenda Norman. And then Sister Brenda and Brother David got Megan. She'd been here before, but it's been a while. She said, what, 8, 9 years? Oh, Lord. Time flies. Oh, Lord. But anyway, good to have you, Megan, and back. Yeah, Megan? Yes, sir. And what's your last name, Megan? McLeod. Hey, I should know that, right? All right. Yeah, I know. I just... 8 years makes a difference to Brittany. 8 years ago, how about that? Woo! Oh, that's scary. But anyway. Wow. All right. Glory, glory. All right. I hope I didn't miss anybody. But it's good to be in God's house and be among his people, the people that God are preparing in this world. You know, we're living in a world that God is helping us, you know, and we're not just...
It's Brother TJ's daughter, Haley.
Yeah, we got...
Where you at, Haley? Stand up so everybody see that pretty red hair.
Yeah, Haley. Yeah. Haley, all right. Yes. All right. We're going to also take up an offering here today, I guess. And, well, let's pray first, okay? I know Sister Jackie Tucker needs our prayer. Yes. So remember her and pray for her. Her daughter's taking care of pretty good, but let's pray for Sister Jackie Tucker, and lift her up today in prayer. Sister Okay.
She's mentioning sister. It's Brenda Ratliff, her daughter.
Brenda Ratliff.
She called me this morning. She's got blood in her urine, and she's a little afraid, but she said, I want y'all to pray that God will help me to have... She said, I want to get a car and move to Little Rock and get back in church.
Oh, so she needs... Yes.
Let's pray. I told her we'd have special prayer for her. So
yes.
Pray for her. She really has a heart. She'd love to serve God.
Right. Brenda Ratliff, okay, and her children. All right, Sister Linda. All right. Yes, it's a member of Brother Stan today. Sister Ann. Remember, Cheryl and Paul. All right, pray for them. Okay, Sister Ann, sister-in-law, Sister Crow. Sister Crow. All right, remember her. She's got some needs. Sister Abraham. Okay, remember those needs today. All right, Sister Cindy. Okay. All right. Let's pray that God will. This youth meeting be what it takes. Touch their lives. All right, Sister Joanne. Yes, was it Ivy poison Ivy? Yeah, they're not sure. All right, Sister Joanne Weiniger. Remember her.
Yes.
Sister Fulton. Okay, remember, Taryn, pray for the young folks. Okay, all right. Yesterday morning, around lunchtime anyway, Brother Lynn Clayton was coming. He came by here with the bread, and he was here talking to us, and he just told me a story, but anyway, they have prayer, he and his family, and they was praying, the kids and the wife, and he had prayed, and he asked them, was there anything else that they had on their hearts, you know? And then his youngest son, his name is Blake, told him, said, let's pray for Brother and Sister Tally. And I thought that was so... He said it just blew him away, you know. So anyway, people's hearts, you know, I just, it touches me. And I know that God's people, you know, really have a heart after, you know, got a heart for people, feeling out for people. And I just appreciate it. And yes.
This week, and I deliberately went over and introduced myself to Justin Case, and we visited for about 45 minutes to an hour, and we cut up, but he opened up to me on some things, and I invited him to our youth meeting, him and his wife, and I told him not only does the youth here, but the youth all the body would love to see him, and for him and his wife to come where they're at, not to do anything special to be accepted, that we want them to come and see us. And his wife, I asked him, I said, well, you think she'll be scared? You know how wild our youth meetings will be. And he said, no, I don't think it'll bother her. She's been around Pentecost before. Mm-hmm. So y'all pray. And I've talked to Andrew about going over and meeting him. And let's pray, because young people can be victims.
Yes. Yes.
Of their parents' hearts.
Yes.
And they can take on an offense of their parents. And let's pray for the hearts that something will happen, not just for the youth that's here and the youth that stayed or have come back or whatever, but the youth for any reason. Because if you think it can't happen to you or your youth, it can. And of course, Leanna, you know, God cover her. But this world can, you don't deliberately leave God.
No.
And you don't deliberately leave God's people. You just find yourself out there. And if you don't think it'll suck you out, you just play around with it. Yes, it'll suck you right out of here. And I just feel like God's going to do something. But we've got young people in this town that's had the Holy Ghost and have been in this church for years. And their lives are not just going real smooth. So let's just pray for him too.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. All right. Okay. Well, TJ, special prayer request.
I think it'd be good, TJ, and I mentioned a prayer request here about a week back for a sister in Sykesville, that it was a very dire consequence of cancer. I think TJ needs to
get it. Oh, yes. We got a wonderful praise report.
You want a handheld mic?
Handheld.
You got a handheld mic?
Handheld mic up here.
Sister Amanda Gibson, she went for some test results on some cancer in St. Louis, and they got some, they tested her in Cape, I believe it was, and sent her to St. Louis, and the doctor said she was just ate up inside with cancer, and there's just, you know, they sent her to St. Louis, and they sent her back to Cape, Girada, and they done some more tests between St. Louis and Cape Girada. By the time she got back into Cape Girada, she was healed.
Right.
They cut her open to do the surgery and everything and couldn't find a thing. The charts, the God changed the charts from St. Louis to Cape. Because from St. Louis to Cape, she was in operation. She, you know, they done had her scheduled for operation to, you know, have, she's having cancer and going to start chemo and everything. And by the time she got to Cape Girardeau, them charts had been changed. Yeah. Tests come back fine. So
praise the Lord.
That's God.
That's God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Pray for Brother Weiniger. Pray for him today. All right. Okay, this is Joe. All right, this is Joe, brother. Man. Okay, this is Abraham. Okay. Just remember Brother Steve. All right. Any other?
Tally, yes, we really need to start praying this week for our youth meeting.
Yes, sir.
And some of you may feel even to fast and pray and ask God to meet some special needs of the youth in the body of Christ that are coming.
Yes.
Let's ask God to meet the needs that are coming here and the ones that are here. I just really have a burden and feel that God is wanting to use young people today in a greater way than they've been used ever before. And so let's really keep our mind on this meeting that's coming up and ask God, petition the Lord to help our youth in the body of Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Brother Cal, yes, sir. I told you guys the wrong day. It's this, the 31st of this month.
July 1st.
Yeah, July 1st.
Okay. Also, Brother Martin Boyd's home with his wife. Remembers her father was killed in a car wreck about 3 weeks ago. And she's really grieving. She lost her mother last year. And so she really wants to get down here with him. And so pray. They've got a contract on a house. Or it looks like it's going to take God for that to go through. But anyway, let's just keep holding out for a little bit. That God would help.
Yes.
And and then also Sister Gail Ratliff and Dave are planning on moving in about a week, or 10 days or so. So pray for them. Sister Brittany back there.
Sister Brittany, all right. Your mom, okay? Yes. Pray for her mom. All right. I know there's...
Yes, Brother Igler. I meant to. I forgot it. The Igler's had cancer in the hip. Mm-hmm. And they did surgery on it. I think they got it all, but they're saying if we didn't get it, you probably wouldn't have but about a year to live. So it's very... serious situation.
Yes.
Brother Igler. Also pray for the Warren Michigan Assembly. I feel like they need our prayers. Pray for them. Brother Waters.
Brother Adams.
Haven't heard any more reports. He's just still holding out for the Lord to heal him. Yes.
Hairy cell leukemia. It is very rare, and really there's not really any treatment. And he chose to go health-wise, and it's probably his best choice in this situation. But it's real slow. It'll take a long time for it actually to take his life. But there's a lot of complications with it. And so he does need a healing. You know, it's not a fast, rapid one, but there's not a whole lot they can do. They have treatments, but it won't really help.
Yes. All right. Just remember, you're at all these needs that God. But yes,
Brother Gene Worthy from
Decatur,
Illinois, has leukemia also, needs prayer. Sister Ann Thompson had her hand.
Yes. Brother Paul saying, I know it could be scary. You know, when you think of all these. A disease that's almost rampant, but we're going to trust God. You know, we're going to keep lifting him up. I was telling Lynn Clayton yesterday about David, you know, when he deal with Bathsheba, but you know, we had this baby, and it was he was fasting and praying for this baby. And of course, they kept asking David, you know, to eat, and he wouldn't. So anyway, of course, the baby did die, but he was holding out, and they didn't understand why he was fasting. Then when the baby died, then he went ahead and started eating. But I knew. See, David knew God. He might not have known what God was going to do, but he knew God. He knew God was able to lift that baby up. Now God didn't do that, and I know He doesn't do every situation, but he had his faith in God. He knew. And that's what I like to have, is faith in God. Yeah. To know that God can do it. He can, and if it's His will, He will. You know, that's the kind of faith I want to have. Because David knew he wouldn't touch a bite to eat because he was trusting God. Of course, God didn't let that happen, but he knew. And that's what I want to do. I want to have the know that the knowing God can. He's able. You know, He may not turn everything around. You know, every situation. But I want to have faith. I don't want to give up on that. You know, I just know it wasn't His will. I just know that it just wasn't his will. But I want to hold on to God. That's what we need to do, is begin to hold on to God. And I just want to live. Let's stand and take these knees to the Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name, oh God. Yes, Lord, we know you are able to help our needs, Lord. Lord, we want to lift you up to this. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Praise your holy name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, Jesus. Jesus.
I'm going to ask you today to, if you can at all, to give extra. This meeting, youth meetings, or Brother Weiniger knows it's very difficult to ever get enough money to pay for a youth meeting. The youth don't have any money, and then the assemblies they come from send assembly offerings, but it's just very difficult. And we're a host assembly, and I just feel God will bless you. So consider it. I know we're living in a difficult financial times, but the Lord put it on your heart. Well, we're going to need a little extra help this coming week. Thank you.
play just kind of touched my heart, you know. It was like, just like, let the Lord know, you know, with your voice, how thankful that you are, you know, to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise of being in His house. Where else could I go? You know, I wouldn't feel at home. I just wouldn't feel at home if I went anywhere else. This is home. And there's times that you, in the natural, you go to family reunions and you see your loved ones of your natural family, and you love them and you appreciate them, but still in that, you can't get the feeling that you have with God's family. And to know that somebody cares enough to be praying for you when you need prayer, and how the Lord touched this young man and had his family pray for Brother and Sister Tally. You know, and there are times that we go through things that we realize that our brothers and sisters, they are praying for us, but we don't even know it, you know. But I thought, God, I am so thankful that in 1986 you led me this way and you opened my eyes, and I didn't understand. I come from a different background and I didn't understand, but the Lord through the years just patiently kept dealing with me and kept working with me until I got my eyes open to see. I just want Him to know how much I thank Him, because I could have been one whose eyes were not open. I could have been one who did not see. And I thank Him. I thank Him from the bottom of my heart that I am here today.
Well, I know I've been taught a lot of things, Brother Smith, Brother Weiner, and growing as a baby, you know, you learn things. You don't just pop out and you're, you know, an adult in this. At 13 years old, I was, well, first I want to say, I feel that you're supposed to bless when you go to visit other assemblies. I think God lays it upon your heart to share, you know, share with others what God's doing.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
He's working everywhere, but we want to know, how do we know His works if we're not telling His works? You know, keeping them hid.
Yeah.
But I'd like to share a testimony, and I've probably shared it with you all before, about how we come into the body. Thank God, in September 2008, on the 7th, I found the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. You hear me? I mean, I struggled for 9 years. Struggled. Kept saying, why? I went to a Pentecostal church and come to campground right over in Benton, Arkansas. And brought the church. I drove the church van and wanted to work for the Lord. Wanted to do something. I was trying to find my place, you know. And every church that I'd been in, I couldn't find my place. I'd been to a Baptist church, and, you know, of course, got there, and I just wasn't getting fed. Like I needed to be fed. It's like inside I needed something more. You know, I believed in the Holy Ghost, you know, and I was taught that the Holy Ghost ain't for everybody. You know, that's the way I was taught, which it's true. It's not for everybody that don't want to receive it and don't believe it.
Yeah.
Those are the ones it's not for. But the ones that knew, like me, myself, I believed and knew that there was a Holy Ghost. And I had been taught that there was a Holy Ghost, you know, and knew and had learned through the years that was God showing me. Well, I'd come to, on the way, there were some elders that we were. and drove, and boy, we were just on fire for God. Just, I mean, big time on fire for God. And on the way, one of the sisters is in the back, and I was like, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I'll get the Holy Ghost. I believe it. One of these days, I'll receive the Holy Ghost. I know I will. I know I will. And then a lie was spoke to me. Oh, Satan raised his head right there in the church van, you know, coming to Benton. He raised his head, and I heard one of them say, well, you know, you ain't getting into heaven if you don't have the Holy Ghost. So I'm thinking, well, if I ain't getting into heaven, there ain't but another place to go. And that's hell. And I'm not going there. So I'm working all this time this hard and striving this hard to make heaven. And this woman's telling me that I'm doing all this work in vain. I'm just going to die. I'm going to hell. Of course, my hell then was just burning on fire forever and ever. You know, I didn't know no different. And I was scared to death. You know, and I thought, wait a minute here. Lord, I got to hear this from you. I got to know, you know, you tell me. This woman's telling me this, and if this is true, I don't know what I'm working for. I don't know why I'm working. If I'm working for nothing because this woman's telling me I'm going to hell when I die. So I said, you mean to tell me if I wreck this van right now and we all died that I wouldn't make heaven? No, brother, you have to have the Holy Ghost to get into heaven. So now, Brother Smith, I'm even more scared. I'm thinking, Lord, that night we pulled in at Benton, about, I don't know, it was 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. We ate supper. I went back to my camp. They had little cabins. You know, went back to my cabin. And, buddy, I started seeking the face of God. I got on my knees, and I started bawling. Lord, tell me. Speak to me. I've never heard your voice. Never have I ever heard you. I haven't heard your voice. You're going to have to tell me. I'm going to have to hear this from you. Man's telling me this. And if this is not true, Lord, you're going to have to tell me. Because Brother Smith, this is what I told him. I'm going to give up. I'm going to leave. There ain't no sense in working. God has the gift to give to me, and I'm doing all I can get and do, and I'm not receiving the gift. So then I'm thinking, well, then I'm not going to get it, God. I can't take it from you. It's something you've got to give. And through my eyes, carnality, I thought I was just doing the best I could do, you know, according to the church. But yet I'm still hell-bound. And I cried, Lord, show me, tell me. You're going to have to tell me tomorrow because I'm packing back up. I'm going back to Missouri. It's over, Lord. If this is the way it is and I'm dedicating all my time and there ain't no pay, I ain't doing this. I'm not doing it. Hey, the next morning, we got up, we went and we ate breakfast and I prayed hard that morning. I believe I fell asleep that night praying, you know, beside my little bunk bed there. And got up the next morning and we ate breakfast and sitting there, and they had little school chairs, little metal legs, plastic body or whatever. And we were sitting there, and I bet this old man had to be in his 90s. He had to have help walking up to the pulpit, and he started to preach. And as he started to preach, sisters and brothers started breaking out, speaking in tongues. Music started playing. And boy, the Spirit started falling. And yet I was still just sitting in my seat. I was just sitting there. I was like, well, my wife, boy, I could look over at her and she'd seek the Holy Ghost longer than I had. Looked over at her and she's just bawling and grasping. She didn't have the Holy Ghost yet either. Grasping for him. Lord, you know, touch us, help me. And this old man, he started to speak, and boy, it's just like a mighty rushing wind. Oh, it come in there, and as it come through there, I heard this voice, and it wasn't a voice. If that sounds weird. I heard the Lord speak, but I didn't hear Him speak. It was, and I didn't know till I come to the body about interpretations of the tongues. I didn't know at that time that's what is transpiring there. You know, I was hearing these women and men speaking in tongues, and God spoke through one of them women, or men, and I heard Him. I heard Him. And He said, keep on. Keep on. Keep on keeping on. You know, don't stop. Don't stop. You keep on. And that was it. And I felt it. I felt it in me. You know, I felt it down in me that the Lord just spoke to my soul. I didn't know my soul had ears. I didn't till that day. And when God spoke to my soul, that instant, I turned and looked at my wife in a fearful way. I mean, it was fearful. I looked at her and said, honey, the Lord just spoke to me. The Lord just... what'd He say? What are we supposed to do? You know, what'd He say? I said, honey, keep on. We're supposed to keep going. Keep going. I was told a lie. It wasn't a lie. It was just told in the wrong way. It was told without love. It was told in a stricken manner. This is the way it's got to be, or it's over for you. Didn't tell me that, you know, there's steps, you know, as a child, that you don't just grow up big one day, you know, that here I turned my life over to the Lord, and I went to the altar, asked my sins to be forgiven, got water baptized, and that was it. That's all I had to do. But if you want to get into heaven, you got to get the Holy Ghost. So I thought, well, what's the other for then? What's the other for? You know, why do I need to do that for? I just won't go at all. But I tell you, when He told me to keep on, I kept on. Went to a Baptist church after that because I wasn't getting fed there. And that's sad to say. But this Pentecostal church had been cut off. They weren't getting no blessing. Can I get some water, please? Wasn't getting no blessings. The fruit wasn't there. They had some truth, but it was just like going out, like needing water. You know, going out into a dry desert, and there's no watering hole, you know, and you're about to die, you know. Just a drop. Just a drop on my tongue. You know, that's all I need, Lord. Just a drop of water. Thank you, brother. Thank you. But I went to this Baptist church, and boy, it was just a chaos. It was a friend, real good friend of mine there in Syxton. He started the church, and he called me and said, brother, I need some help. I need help. And I love helping. I do. I know that God loves a person that just wants to humble itself and help. You know, when you see somebody need help, you know, we were talking last night, Brother Ben and Isaac and I, we were talking about a sign that I read at an account. It says, I was saddened because I had no shoes until I met a man that had no feet. You know, and then Brother Mauser said, yeah. And that man wasn't near as sad until he met a man with no legs. You know, so don't think you're in a spot that you can't go further. You know, that you can't go on. That's what God wants us to do, is go on. Don't stop where you're at. There's more. There's more for you. You know, like the brother said, being here, I truly believe you aren't just in this coincidental. God places you in this. He knows your heart better than you know it. He knows what you're digging for. He knows what you're looking for. He knows what you're wanting. He places you in the body. He placed my mom and sister in the body. And I thought they was crazy. Brother Smith, I didn't believe them. I thought some of the doctrines they were saying, and I'm reaping it now. I tell you, Sister Jennifer, I'm reaping it. Oh, because I used to hit her with some scriptures. Boy, and Brother Philip, oh, they'd come visit us, and
Oh, I'd open that Bible to Jennifer. Forgive me, sis. But I'd open that Bible and I'd pound on it, Brother Weiniger. I know she'd come and talk to you. I'd pound on her. I'd say, hey, wait a minute. They're lying to you. They're lying. There is a hell. Because I was wrong. You know, I wasn't man enough to admit I was wrong. I was like, no, they're wrong. Look here. Hell ain't that way. You'll burn. You'll burn. And then I had a brother speak to me, Brother Shay Mouser, Brother Bobby Mouser's boy, spoke to me. He said, how unjust is that? How unjust? Is God not a just God? I sat there and said, yeah, he's a just God. Well, how unjust is that? That you not serve him and he makes you burn. Only way you get eternal life is through him. You don't get eternal life to burn. You don't get that. So it kind of made me think about it. And I, my father, pray for my dad. Pray for him. He's lost. He says he knows God. But the fruit you bear is so different, you know. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, yeah. Would God put my dad in the same category? Because Dad says he's asked God to come into his heart. Would God put my dad in the same category as a man that's out here just murdering and killing? And my dad's, that's where I got the help. My dad's the same way I am. He'd help anybody. He's got a heart, but there's motives and ways to portray actions, you know, to do the help. You know, do it to God and he'll do it to you, you know. And just pray for him. Pray he's lost. But I got thinking about that. My dad will burn in hell and God won't have justice on him. You know, by maybe walking around his yard saying, Lord, I caught him one time, Brother Weiniger, walking around his backyard bawling by himself. And I snuck up on him. And he was bawling, Brother Smith, he's walking around crying, talking to the Lord. Yeah, in the backyard, walking around, talking to the Lord. Lord, why? And they got a little fence you got to walk in to get to their backyard. And I looked. Boy, he's back here. Why, Lord? Bawling. Why? What's going on, Lord? I didn't want to come around the corner to disturb him, you know. But, oh, I was like a little kid peeping. Oh, I was happy. You know, I was so happy. I could see him speaking to the Lord. And it was a cry from the gut. You know, we got prayers and cries sometimes for selfish things. But then we've got those need prayers. You know, help me, Lord. Help me. And that was what Dad's was. I walked around the corner there and there he was. I said, Daddy. Daddy. You know, and he turned and looked. First thing he done was wiped his face. Yeah, he told me, what did you say? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on? I said, what's wrong? What's wrong, Dad? Oh, nothing. Then he shared with me. We began to talk. I said, Dad, won't you go to church? Won't you go to church and fellowship? You can share these problems with God. Yeah, it's wonderful. But you can have the support of your brothers, sisters. You don't know how big a family you got. You don't know, you know. And I prayed for years. I wish I had. My mom comes from a family of 15, and one passed away. When we had Christmases and Thanksgiving, buddy, we had Christmases and Thanksgiving, you know.